Will you just pray with me? Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, nothing, no one compares to you. Lord, as we come here together now, as we worship you and draw near to you, we thank you that you are God, that you are mighty. We recognize and acknowledge that you are the one who created the universe, that you are the one who is able to speak to the seas, to stand in the fire with us, to walk with us through all things. You are the one who is able to heal. You are the one who understands our deep grief and our deepest joys. We thank you so much for life that we can have with you, because of you. And so, Lord, as we come here now, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts as I share this message that you've put on my heart to share. I ask that it would not be my words today, but that it would be you flowing out of me today, that each one of us, me included, would be able to draw near to you, would be able to recognize more and more how awesome you are. And so we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear you clearly today, to understand what your word says, and to be able to walk with you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm very excited to be able to continue on in our Keys to Life series. And this is a series that we're looking at where we're answering some of life's big questions or questions about faith. And it's like if you have the answers to these questions, it's like having the keys to life. And so today's question is one that perhaps you've asked before, somebody's asked you. And it's the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, many different people will have a different answer or response to that question based on who they think Jesus is or who they know Jesus to be. So my question is, do you know Jesus? Do we know Jesus? Am I certain that he lived? Are you certain he lived? And if he did live, do we know what he did while he lived? And the way we answer this question is really important, because ultimately, the way that we answer this question defines our eternity. In a sense, because our eternity rests on our relationship with Jesus. Do we know him as our Savior? Do we know him as the Messiah, as we just sang in those songs earlier? C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. If Jesus did live, then this is one of the most important questions and answers that we have to know in our lives, because our life ultimately depends on that answer. So we are in a church today, or you're listening online or listening to this at some point. And my guess is because of this situation, you've probably heard about Jesus before, or you've wondered about Jesus before, or you know Jesus on a personal relationship. You know him as your Lord and Savior. But perhaps you still have some questions about Jesus, and I cannot give you all of the answers, but I do hope to share some of that today and in what I've experienced and what God has shown me through his word. See, for me, the answer is Jesus is my Savior. Like, Jesus is the one who has held me when everything falls apart around me. Jesus is the one who has shone light in my darkest moments, where he has helped me to see the truth, even when the truth hurts. He has shown me right from wrong, and he has helped me and shown me how to walk his path, his ways. Jesus has forgiven me and freed me from sin, and he has given me hope and joy and life. Jesus is amazing. And I didn't just come here to tell you my answer to that question today. I hope that each one of you is able to come to your own understanding of who he is today. And so our main passage is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 22. And we're going to be looking at a few different passages, but in this one, Paul introduces us to Jesus in a beautiful way. And I think it gives us a pretty clear understanding of who Jesus is. So Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 22. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Wow. This is Jesus. And what we just read in that passage tells us a lot about who he is. He was the one who was at the very beginning. He reveals God to us because God is in him. He holds all creation, and everything was made through him. He is creator. He has made a way for us to be reconciled to God. Jesus is Savior. And perhaps you or people you know may hear these words or hear Bible verses about Jesus and what he's done and go, well, that's nice. That's a nice thing to read. It's nice to hear that, but I don't know if it's true. Like, how do I know that Jesus actually lived? Because you're just telling me this from the Bible. I have a question then for you to think about. Do you believe history? Like, if you've studied history at all, do you believe what those historians wrote? Because if we're going off what they said and basing the history of the world on what those historians said and saying that that is true, when it comes to the Bible, for some reason people see the Bible and go, nope, that's just a book and I'm not going to pay any attention to it. People write it off in their lives without actually even looking at the evidence for themselves. The truth is, the Bible is true, and there is so much evidence for the Bible being true and reliable and being the inerrant, without error, word of God. And so I kind of want to look at some things in that, because there is so much that you can talk about when it comes to recognizing that the Bible is true. But I wanted to just give a brief explanation on what how we can know it is. And so when it comes to the Bible and what the New Testament says about Jesus, you can be 100% certain that Jesus is who he says he is because of history, because of the way that we look at historical documents. And so the way what we're looking at right now is apologetics or defense of the gospel. And again, there is so much that you could go into in this. And if you would like to go more in depth in apologetics, there are so many courses or books that we have on that I could lend you or show you how to sign up. But this is just a little snippet, okay? So looking at the New Testament or looking at any historical book when you're looking at them, we see that there was the time that they were written down, and when that document was written down, it depended on how long it had been from when the event had happened. And then you have that document, and people made copies of that document and copies of the documents. So there were lots and lots of different copies of the document that was written. So I'm going to put a little picture up on the screen behind me. And it kind of just gives us an example or some information about the Bible. So when we're looking at dates of history or books, even the Bible, we look at the date that the original document was written. And so what we see here is when the New Testament roughly was written. And what this tells us is that the New Testament was written roughly around 35 to 100 years after Jesus' death. You look at the other resources, and they are written longer than that, after the time of the event. Then we look at the earliest copies of these documents. The earliest copies of the New Testament is 125 years, again, after Jesus' death. That's not very long. But you look at the copies or the earliest manuscripts of the other ones, and there's years between that. Then you look at the number of these copies. And this is pretty important because the amount of copies that there were, all of these copies really were copies, very close to each other, and basically without errors with each other. That doesn't make sense. They lined up together. Does that make sense? They lined up and made sense. The New Testament has over 5,000 copies of the document saying the same thing over and over, whereas you look at the number of copies of the other ones, and there's significantly less. This means that when we look at the New Testament, we can say this is a reliable source because, one, when it was written shows that people who were alive when Jesus was alive, people who were alive when they saw Jesus die and rise from the dead, they were alive when these documents were written. They were alive when the Gospels and the letters, they were alive when these were written. This is huge because it means that people couldn't come up and say, actually, that didn't happen. Or they could come up and say, that didn't happen. And it could have been disproved. But that's not what happened because we see it over and over again in the copies, right? What I'm trying to say is, for example, if I told you at the end of last year I broke my arm, I could say, I broke my arm the end of last year. Some of you may believe me. But there's going to be some of you sitting here who saw me at the end of last year and be able to say, you did not break your arm. That's not the truth. And so I didn't break my arm, but those who saw me last year, your eyewitnesses, you knew that I didn't break my arm. Same with the Bible, in a sense. People saw that Jesus rose from the dead, and they didn't come and, well, they tried to dispute that. You can read about that, but he still rose from the dead. And you can see that not just in the New Testament, but in other historical documents, that people are saying, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. People didn't dispute that. He rose from the dead. And other historians agree with that who aren't even Christian historians. So that's just like a brief little look at one of the ways that we can look at the Bible and go, this is true. I think it's amazing, just looking at the Bible, that there are so many more copies or manuscripts of the New Testament than any other of those in that list in particular, any other documents or histories. And it's because the gospel was spreading. It's because God's word was getting out to all the people. And it's true. And so again, if you want to do more on apologetics, I encourage you to dive into it because it will help you have an amazing, deeper understanding of what you believe and why you believe it. And then you can have this confidence in what you believe, knowing that Jesus did live. Jesus did rise from the dead. And so, hopefully I've given you just a bit of an insight into the Bible being true. So when people say, who is Jesus? Even historians who aren't Christians will say that Jesus lived based on history. But looking at the Word of God, looking at the copies, looking at what we have about him, it's true. So, next point, I guess, looking at the Bible, who is Jesus? Jesus is life. Jesus is life. We read it before in Colossians that everything is made through Jesus and for Jesus, that he is the one who gives us life, both physically and spiritually. This is also mentioned in other places. John 1:1-5. John introduces Jesus this way. He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Here we see again that Jesus is there in the beginning with God. We see that he is the one who gave and gives life, that he existed before all creation. But it doesn't just talk about that in the New Testament. It talks about this all the way in Genesis 1:26. When God's creating everything and he comes and he starts to make people, but he says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. We see that in just this sentence, God, in the beginning, Jesus was with him too, because he doesn't say, I'm going to make people. He says, let us make people. Each one of us has a physical life because of Jesus. He made you. He made you in his image. He knows you, and he created you and put you in this world right now for such a time as this. He made you to live and breathe and to come to know him. Jesus says about himself, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is the life. But also in John 3:16, it says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I think I share this verse every time I preach because it's the truth. It's the truth. One of the most important lessons that we can learn in this life. But it goes on after verse 16 to verse 17. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Jesus is light. Jesus is light. Jesus doesn't just make the world, make you, and say, okay, cool, off you go. He doesn't just say, okay, now you're saved, cool. He is light, and he made us to live in his light. I don't know if you were like this when you were younger, or perhaps you are still now, but were you afraid of the dark when you were little? Like, it just wasn't a comfortable place to be. We have little kids, and so at nighttime we keep some lights on so that they can feel safe if they wake up in the middle of the night. It's not so scary for them. See, darkness is the absence of light. And although I'm not super scared of the dark now, I know at times, because I don't know what's in the dark, I'm a little bit cautious where I walk, if that makes sense. I do really appreciate a good light, because then I can see if I'm about to walk into something. I do want to do a little example of something, though. Okay, I've got a little table. I've got a piece of paper here, and I'm going to try and draw a picture on it. But the thing is, I'm going to try and draw the picture like I'm in the dark. So just imagine that it's gone pitch black for a minute, and I'm going to try and draw a picture in the dark and not get marker on the tablecloth, because that wouldn't be good either. Okay, I'm going to try and draw a picture of something, and you're going to have to tell me what I'm making or drawing, and I can't see what I'm doing. Okay, I'm drawing a picture in the dark. I tried. Does anyone know what it is? It's a person. It's not quite a person, but I couldn't really see what I was doing. I couldn't see that I was, if I was making mistakes, I couldn't see the errors I was making. I also chose not to see the errors that I was making because I hid it in the darkness. We kind of do that with our lives, and that's what we just read in John 3:17 and onwards. We kind of like being in the dark, because if I didn't pull out that picture and show you what I had drawn, it's in the dark, it's hidden, you can't see it. And that's what it's like with our sin. When we don't know Jesus, when we don't want to be in the light, we try to hide our sin. We don't want you to look at it, don't want anyone to see it or know about it. And so I'm just going to keep living my life covered up in the darkness, because you can't see what's going on. Because I don't want you to know the sin in my life, or I don't want to draw near to the light. Because when I draw near to the light, then I see my sin and I see the things that are wrong. And that's kind of scary. Sometimes it's easier to just cover it up and ignore it and just go on like life is all okay, because I don't want to deal with that. But that's not what Jesus came for. And that's not who Jesus is, because Jesus is light. He shines light in the darkest places, revealing the things in our lives that need healing, revealing the things, the sin in our lives, not so that we can see our sin and be like, I'm a horrible person, but so that we can see our need of him, so that we can come out of the darkness and into his light and be close to him, so that we can start to see what is going on, so that we can actually draw a proper person. I'm gonna just draw a quick little, so we can draw a person, maybe the kind of person that we were trying to draw before. I mean, it's not that better, but I'm not a great artist, but I could see what I was drawing. But that's what it's like in our lives. He has this amazing path for us to go on, this amazing plan for us to be on. But it starts with us coming near to him and coming into the light so that we can see the truth, so that we can see what he is leading us to do. He does this because he loves us. He does this because he doesn't want us to walk in the darkness, because when we're walking in the darkness, we can't see. We don't know the truth. And when we're walking in the darkness, the direction that we're going is darkness. He loves you. He shines his light on our sin because he came to save us. Jesus said this, John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." John 9, verse 5, confirming again, "But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world." John 12, 46, "I have come as light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." If you feel like you've been walking in darkness, you don't have to walk in the dark anymore. Come to Jesus. He is light. He will shine light on your situation, on your circumstances, on what you're going through. And yes, it will be painful at times, because sometimes we want to keep holding on to some of those things, but there is absolute freedom in Christ. There is absolute joy when we're able to step into the light and be as he created us to be, as John 3:21 says, "But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." And when you're walking in the light, others can see that in you. When you're walking in the light, everything is different. We no longer have to fear of what we could stand on in the dark, because he is with us. The next point on who Jesus is Jesus is Lord. And we read that again this morning in Colossians, that Jesus is, he's supreme. Colossians 1:19 says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ." God lived in Christ. Jesus said it about himself as well, that he is Lord. John 10:31, "The Father and I are one." Jesus is Lord. John points it out about him as well in John 1, verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. He made us. He made everything. And the amazing thing about Jesus, though, in that he is Lord, and he is Lord over all things, but he has given each one of us a choice to decide who we say that he is. He doesn't create us and force us to call him Lord. He loves us so much that he didn't want to force us to love him. Because if we were forced to love the Lord, then it wouldn't be real love. That would be forced love. And so because he loves you so much, he gave you a choice. He gave me a choice. He gave all of us a choice. Even though that's the very thing we were created for, we are created for him. We are created by him to know him. But again, we have that choice to choose him as Lord of our lives. He is Lord of all things, but is he my Lord in all things? Again, C.S. Lewis, he has many good quotes, Christian author. He said this, "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that is Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus did would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would have to be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. There are many people today who don't know Jesus. There are many people who are walking in darkness because they don't know that Jesus is light. And the thing is, if we do know Jesus, if we are walking in the light, then we need to live in that light so that others can see the light in us. We need to decide for ourselves who Jesus is, because this is a question in our lives that cannot be ignored. Jesus is life. Jesus is the light. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus asks us that same question that he asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Who do you say that Jesus is? Do we choose to walk with him in his light? Do we recognize and see that he is the light of the world, the light in our lives, the one who came to set us free, that we don't have to live or walk in darkness, the one who created you for a purpose, that you would know him, that his light would shine in you, and that you would bring honor and glory to his name, the Messiah, our Savior? Who will you say that he is today? Let's pray. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you made the whole world, and in all of that, you thought of us. You made us not to live a life on our own, but to live a life walking with you, knowing you. Father, forgive us, for we walk our own ways. But I thank you so much for your forgiveness, for your love and for your light. Thank you for your word that is the truth, that shines light on the things in our lives that are wrong, that keep us separated from you. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid, but to come before you, to bring our heartaches, our fears, our sins, whatever it is, to bring it before you lay it at your feet and allow your light to shine in those dark places. Because, Lord, we know that your light is there to save us. You are there to save us. And so, Father, help us to not live in darkness anymore. Help us to live with you and walk in your light. And as we do that, God, may we shine your light. May other people recognize you in us. And as we shine your light, may we not be afraid to step out and show you to other people, to share you with our neighbors, to share you with those that we meet at the shops or wherever we are, that you would get the honor and the glory and that people would be saved. We know that that is your heart, Lord, that all people would come to know you. And so, Father, just ask this in your name. And thank you so much for your amazing grace and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.